But I can't ignore the crazy visions of me in LA. And I heard that there's a special place where boys and girls can all be queens every single day. I'm having wicked dreams of leaving Tennessee. Oh, Santa Monica, I swear it's calling me. Won't make my mama proud, it's gonna cause a scene. She sees her baby girl, I know she's gonna scream. God, what have you done? You're a pink pony girl, and you dance at the club. Oh, mama, I'm just having fun on the stage in my heels. It's where I belong, down at the pink pony club. I'm gonna keep on dancing at the pink pony club. I'm gonna keep on dancing down in West Hollywood. I'm gonna keep on dancing at the pink pony club. Pink pony club. And I'm up and jaws are on the floor. Lovers in the bathroom and a line outside the door. Black lights and a mirror disco ball. Every night's another reason why I left it all. I think my wicked dreams are you from Tennessee. Oh, Santa Monica, you've been too good to me. Won't make my mama proud, it's gonna cause a scene. She sees her baby girl, I know she's gonna scream. God, what have you done? You're a pink pony girl, and you dance at the club. Oh, mama, I'm just having fun on the stage in my heels. It's where I belong, down at the pink pony club. I'm gonna keep on dancing at the pink pony club. I'm gonna keep on dancing down in West Hollywood. I'm gonna keep on dancing at the pink pony club. Pink pony club. Don't think I've left you all behind. Still love you in Tennessee, you're always on my mind. And mama, every Saturday I can hear your southern draw 1,000 miles away. Singing, God, what have you done? You're a pink pony girl, and you dance at the club. Oh, mama, I'm just having fun on the stage in my heels. It's where I belong, down at the pink pony club. I'm gonna keep on dancing at the pink pony club. I'm gonna keep on dancing down in West Hollywood. I'm gonna keep on dancing at the pink pony club. Pink pony club. I'm gonna keep on dancing. I'm gonna keep on dancing. I'm gonna keep on dancing.
Now please rise in body or spirit for the lighting of our chalice, followed by the affirmation of our covenant. And Lynn Burton will light the chalice.
Jesus at the Gay Bar by Jay Hill. He's here, in the midst, right in the center of the dance floor. Robes hitched up to his knees to make it easier to spin. At some point in the evening, a boy will touch the hem of his robe and beg to be healed, beg to be anything other than this. and he will reach out his arms. Sweat, damp from weary dancing, he'll cup the boy's face in his hand and say, "My beautiful child, there is nothing in your heart that needs to be healed."
When I feel hopeless about the future, as I sometimes do, I remember our community's ability to survive across generations and the lineage of ancestors who are with us now, bringing their own medicine of imagination. 30 years ago, the Queer Nation Manifesto told us there are two important things to remember about the coming revolutions. The first is that we will get our asses kicked. The second is that we will win. May we always remember this. May we move together in a way that leaves no one behind.
And now Kelsey McQueen has the meditation for us.
A meditation by Dave Savage. During the darkest days of the AIDS crisis, we buried our friends in the morning, we protested in the afternoon, and we danced all night. The dance kept us up in the fight, because in the dance it was the dance we were fighting for. Now a moment of silence.
Now it's time for our message. Colleen Maynard will be delivering the message today. She is a lifelong UU and a connoisseur of LGBT clubs. She has a global health degree from DePaul University, and she used her liberal arts education to write this sermon.
Good morning. Thank you all for being here today, by the way. I wrote this sermon in my stepmother's above ground pool. Every day after work, all summer, I quickly change into a swimsuit and I swim laps across the 20-foot pool. I usually begin my swim ruminating on a problem at work or a problem with the world at large. But as I cross the crisp, refreshing water, I have to focus on my form. I have to keep my kicks back and barely under the surface. I have to scoop the water the right way as I push forward. I have to focus on my breath as I try not to choke on chlorine water or my own hair. Back and forth and back and forth. And when I emerge, I've often found an answer to my conundrum. And recently, I realized that I've been meditating. Without knowing it, I was drawn to the repetitive, body-focused exercise because it was quieting all of my other thoughts. So no offense to our minute of silence meditation, but I kind of prefer my pool method. I used this accidental meditation to process my thoughts on a book, which in turn informed my sermon. Oh, I meant to bring it up here as a prop. What? You guys will get it. It's called Real Queer America, LGBT Stories from Red States by Samantha Allen. In this 2017 book, we follow Samantha, who's a trans woman, on a cross-country road trip to a variety of conservative areas and red states. She interviews LGBT activists and people in each town, and she reflects on her personal connections to these states that are infamously hostile to her. Between swim sessions, I read in the muggy heat, in the blistering sun, and as I allowed the sun's rays to bathe me in delightful warmth, I considered how many other practices could be meditation and how many other places could be worshipful. When I cross my fingers and I hope that the dive bar cover band is going to play my favorite song, even though I didn't ask, is that a prayer, maybe? When I tape my favorite poem to the fridge so I can look at it when I get breakfast, is that scripture? When I listen to Pink Pony Club every single day on the way to work, is that a hymn, maybe? If it's sincerely meaningful to me, who's to say it can't be scripture or prayer or hymnal? I don't believe that spirituality is constrained to places of worship. That's with a capital P and a capital W. What are the basic functions of a church? It's a regular gathering of like-minded community. There's a network of resources. There's time for maybe discussion and reflection. There could be chanting. There could be singing. There could be dancing. That all happens at gay bars and in feminist bookstores and even in those coffee shops that sell crystals and novelty candles. What supposedly sets the church apart is the worship, the respect and devotion to a higher being. But we don't do that here. We focus on our interdependent community, on our own ideals, on social justice initiatives that serve each other, not on a higher power. Once we expand the idea of worship to include the Unitarian Universalist definition, we're opened up to a whole new world of worship spaces. Maybe it is worship then, when I faithfully read a terrible romance novel every month for my queer book club. Maybe my living room dance parties are worship. Maybe connecting to our communities is what creates that magical sense of fulfilling our spirit. Water break. That's what I say at camp. I say, water break, everyone drink water. The queer community is quite talented in creating these magical spaces and taking the scrappy resources available to them and from these scraps creating a great party, frankly, and marches and parades. In Real Queer America, Samantha Allen writes that, quote, "You can try to exile queer people from public life. You can send us into the shadows of the world, but we are resilient. Much like cactuses, we find purchase in the most extreme environments. And so we keep creating queer worlds wherever we can, even in South Central Indiana college towns," end quote. Did I mention that one of her road trip stops was in Bloomington? And maybe the club really is a sacred space. I truly do feel that going out to dance fills my cup for the week ahead, as Rosie once stated was the purpose of church. Several months ago, and also yesterday, I was at Greg's Our Place, the best gay club in Indianapolis and the entire world, in my opinion. The lights were flashing, the DJ was playing all my favorite tunes, my blue glitter eyeshadow looked spectacular. The music was so loud, it rattled your very core, and it was my turn in the center of the dance circle. As I twisted around, looking ridiculous, I'm sure, I realized I was surrounded entirely by friends. Everywhere I looked, each time the lights flashed, I saw someone who cared deeply about me. In that moment, I felt a deep sense of joy and love and interdependence that was certainly spiritual. My cup was filled for months to come. I still draw on that moment in times of need to remember that I am quite literally surrounded by loved ones, and even in a space where I feel most like my truest self. This is not a privilege that I take lightly. I joke that I always tear up at Greg's because of the intense fog machines, poetry, essays, and texts from other religions. This core tenet of Unitarian Universalism, answering life's big questions with more questions. This mirrors the way in which a queer person has to piece together their own life once they realize their future won't fit into the white picket fence, heterosexual, white American ideal. Our non-creedal religion is strange. It's unorthodox. It's confusing to others. And it challenges people's ideas of the institution of religion. That's pretty queer of us. I have learned, thank you for the finger snaps, Rosie. I have learned countless lessons about the queer community and about life from within the sparkly walls of gay clubs and bars, from researching poetry that I found scrawled on dirty bathroom walls to learning what a leather weekend was. So what lessons can we as a Unitarian Universalist congregation draw from the LGBTQ plus community? I have three for you today. I think there's endless lessons, but I just have three. Number one, it's the people that make a space safe. Samantha Allen writes, quote, "Just before I have to leave Bloomington, I'm realizing that this city, or any red state LGBT oasis for that matter, doesn't just exude safety. There's nothing in the water, no invisible mist in the air that makes queer people happier here. Even places like the Back Door, which is a gay bar in Bloomington and the second best gay bar in the entire universe, in my opinion, even places like the Back Door are just drywall and concrete at the end of the day. But Bloomington is still an oasis. And what makes it like that? I think it's mostly the people you meet and the connections you make," end quote. Pride flags or safety pins or "we serve everyone here" stickers are all nice signals, but they don't make a space into an LGBT-friendly one. The people do. And much like Smokey the Bear's famous slogan, only you can create a safe space, it is each and every one of our responsibilities to use the correct pronouns, to not make assumptions, and to listen, not just to chime in, but to understand, especially when someone is expressing something about their own life experiences. Speaking of understanding, number two, respect before understanding. Queer identity is confusing, inherently so. Queerness is a breakdown of everything we might consider to be normal, every binary which we've previously used to shape our sense of the world. When we break down these oppressive binaries, we also lose the structure that they were providing. So there will be, at some point, be something about the LGBTQ plus community that you don't understand. A person with an identity you've never heard of, a political action that seems disconnected from gay and trans issues, a leather weekend at the local club. The important part is not initially to understand, although that's nice too. The most important part is to give respect to those who you do not understand. The most important mantra of the LGBTQ community, in my opinion, I use it all the time at least, is, "I don't get it, but good for them." Too often, I think allies become burdened with the need to fully get a community of which they are not a part. This is an impossible task. I'm giving you all permission to free yourselves from this need. If you don't, for example, understand how it works when one person uses the plural they, them pronouns, that's okay. It's okay. First, respect, use their pronouns and refer to them correctly. Later, to a close friend or to Google, you can find your answers, as long as you're asking out of curiosity and kindness. You can respect someone without understanding them. And then number three, joy fuels us. Laughing, dancing, joking around are not ways to take a break from political action. That's the whole point of the action. Each time a queer person exists joyfully in this world, they're showing others that being queer is not scary and sad and sinful. At least it's not just scary and sad and sinful. It's also a source of great joy for many people, a joy that fills their cups and prepares them for all of the scary and sad and sinful stuff lying ahead. As Dan Savage said in our meditation, the dance kept us in the fight because it was the dance we were fighting for. Water break. With that last lesson, I'd like to remind you of the song that began this service and sparked the idea for this entire sermon. In Pink Pony Club, Chapel Roan details the story of a hypothetical queer person who is rejected by their mother and their community in Tennessee, moving instead to gay-friendly Santa Monica. Santa Monica? What? Santa Monica. This character laments leaving behind their home, but doesn't regret coming to this magical place where boys and girls can all be queens every single day, where they have found such affirming joy. Throughout the song is a powerful refrain, a sentiment that is stitched throughout the queer community's history. I'm going to keep on dancing. When I went to watch the Indy Pride Parade a few weeks ago, I heard that song about 15 times in 1 hour. It was, you know what, I actually think that's an underestimate. It was playing on restaurant patios as it played on floats passing by with people singing along to both at once. Downtown Indy, by the way, that weekend was absolutely jam-packed with LGBTQ people and allies. I've never in my life felt more at home in Indianapolis than I did on that elbow-to-elbow sidewalk. As I bobbed and weaved, trying to find my mother, who was one endless block away, it took me like 20 minutes to find her, I ran into an intersection standoff, complete with tumbleweeds and Western music. On the corner of Mass Ave and Delaware were those God Hates Gays preachers. There were almost a dozen of them standing on some sort of raised platform landscaping, shouting into their megaphones and waving their ugly signs. But I could barely hear them, because between me and them was a huge crowd of people, decked in rainbows and glitter, waving noisemakers, clicking those clicky fans, and screaming, Pink Pony Club. But they weren't yelling at the preachers. They were projecting their voices outwards into the pride crowd so that they would drown out the hateful speech. And I think that's exactly how Chapel meant for her song to be used, as a joyful counter to those intent on causing us harm. So, as you head into another week of unprecedented times, remember, it's in our own power to create a safe space, a respectful space, and a fun space everywhere we go. And whether it's at church or in your own living room or at the Pink Pony Club, don't forget to keep on dancing. Thank you.